Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
Okay, time to welcome in Major Billy Downer here to Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network, another edition of SC Wild from DNR. It's a beautiful day. We've got beautiful weather all this week. If you're inside and not participating outdoors, Major, then something's wrong with you. Get out there and do something.
Absolutely great weather, good fishing weather. A lot of folks going out and fishing in some fresh water. Salt water, wherever. It's just fun to fish right now because it's nice and warm. Not sure the cold weather's gone for good, but we'll enjoy it while we have it.
Well, what are your meteorologists telling you about the weather ahead?
Well, I have not gotten a check-in on that. I need to get a little bit better report. I think we've got some cold days this month, though, coming up. But this weekend's going to be warm, and the Bassmaster Classic is on Lake Hartwell this weekend. At Green Pond Landing in Anderson County. Big event area there. Starts up, I think, tomorrow. I know Friday's when the tournament starts. They got festivities and open house for people to come in there Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the public to come out there. Our Tomo Heritage Trailer's there, and a lot of other exhibits are there for the Bassmaster Classic. So folks are encouraged to go out in Anderson County, enjoy that, walk around, take a look. They'll be cutting down the competitors from Friday into Sunday for that Bassmaster Classic again on Lake Hartwell. So look forward to see some big fish probably.
I would think so. I always find it kind of interesting when I run across coverage of a bass fishing tournament. First of all, the skill and knowledge that goes into being a champion and how you handle yourself on the water and how you know how to look for the fish. And then, of course, when you're pulling them out, making sure you've got the right ones that meet the qualifications, then they have the big weigh-in back at the pier. It's all very interesting stuff to watch.
Well, absolutely. And people don't realize how much money these guys have invested in the equipment they're using. I was talking to my training lieutenant today, and yesterday we were just talking about, you know, everybody has – things that they enjoy spending money on, whether it's collecting guns, collecting knives, what have you. And, you know, you look at it and you go, well, he spent several hundred dollars on that knife, or he spent, you know, $1,000 or more on this rifle or whatever else. And it's all relative, because you look at a fishing, one of these guys that's doing these tournaments, whether it's Bassmasters, FLW, whatever, they've got $10,000 in lures in that boat.
Amazing.
Not to mention the boat itself. You know, the money they've got in the boat, motor, trailer, the vehicle, the gas they've got to pay, even, especially now, gas, and you can't put, ethanol free gas mostly in these motors. So you're paying premium price for that. Then you got to get to these tournaments and drive around. So, I mean, it's expensive for folks to do it. The rewards can be big, but a lot of investment in that. So, $20,000-$30,000 in a boat or more, $40,000-$50,000 in some boats. I mean, you know. But the equipment, the rods, the lures, nobody thinks about that. All the plastic bait you got in that boat, it's worth a lot of money when you count it all up. So a lot of money invested in that. But, again, it's relative to what you spend it on. Some people collect guns. Some people collect knives. Some people fish. So all relative.
What kind of you mentioned the plastic lures. I mean, for the championship bass fisherman, what's the most successful lure that you know of?
Holy cow. That would be like throwing a dart with your eyes closed. Who knows? Some worm, some, you know, it just depends on the day. It depends on the water temperature. Because, you know, top water bait, you know, crank baits, worms, Carolina rig, you know, famous, most bass fishermen probably use the Carolina rig more than anything else in the summertime. But then, you know, there's crankbaits, there's your baits that do kind of a shallow water dive, and there's a deep water crankbaits. I mean, it's just it's so much, it's hard to tell. But everybody's got their, you know, every year, a couple of years, you get that favorite worm. And then those that came out with hooks. How sharp your hook going to be? I remember when Gamakatsu, the hook came out, and everybody thought that was laser sharp. There was nothing any sharper than that. And now there's so many different hooks out there you can choose from, because the sharper the hook, of course, you know, the better you're going to get a bite. A little bit of a light bite, you're going to catch that fish. So anyway, so much to it.
You know what's amazing to me too, Major? This is SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from DNR. You go to the really big events, the national championships and all this sort of stuff, the Masters, the Bassmasters championships, the thousands of people who will show up to watch the weigh-in. And I've seen coliseums filled with it. We've done it here in Columbia, as you well know, and I think they've held it over at the Colonial Life Arena. Thousands of people show up just to watch them weigh the fish.
Absolutely. Like I was talking about, they make – so – BASS, FLW try to make their events their fishing tournaments an event.
Mm-hmm.
They try to make it a destination location for people to come. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, when they do it in the Colonial Life Arena, look at all the exhibits and all those rooms and all that space. They got all the different types of lures and companies out there showing off their wares. And outside, they've got a huge outside area. It almost becomes a carnival out there with all the stuff out there. And you're right, thousands of people show up. So it's a big deal. It's a big event. Bassmasters, you know, is a big deal. You know, coming to Anderson County up there, getting some really quality fishermen on Lake Hartwell. So it'll be a good event. Again, encourage folks to go out. If you haven't been to one, go out there and see what they got out there exhibits-wise Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Probably won't be as big as Colonial Life Arena, but still, Green Pond's a very nice, large event facility. So large landing. We call it, I guess you call it a mega ramp, because it's made for tournaments.
Yeah, so I got to believe, nice. Too, in the towns that these events come to, whether they're the major ones or the, you know, a notch or two down, it's great for the community. It generates money. It generates publicity. I think it's all good.
Oh, absolutely. It's your local Chamber of Commerce eats this up for sure, because you get hotels, you get restaurants, and if people come to watch these events, they're included in that. You know, they're going to spend money. So it's a big deal. You know, it's been interesting when you talk about that. Hunting and fishing is so often overlooked from an economic standpoint. But when our state, we have a tremendous resource. We talk about all the time how many boats we have in South Carolina and all the great water. You know, 30% of our state's water. But that water's great fishing. And there are tournaments that come to this state every year that bring a lot of money into this state, as far as the competitors spending money, your folks coming to watch the tournament, just like you said, not Colonial Life Arena, just there, Charleston, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much that gets brought in you don't think about, but the money that's generated from hunting and fishing, I can't remember, we had a figure on that. It was pretty impressive. How many millions of dollars get generated in hunting and fishing each year in South Carolina, but it's a lot bigger than you think.
Oh, I would think so. I would think so. This is SC Wild with the Major, Billy Downer. What else you got on your plate tonight?
Well, you know, we talked about fishing. You got a tournament coming up, so that's a big show right now this weekend, but the class is coming up. Do you want to talk about that, get some energy built up about that?
Absolutely.
End of the month. So the classic, you know, in the past we've had different people come to different big names be there. The classic's been real popular over the last 30 years, with just it's I think it's the largest outdoor show besides the state fair. Hmm. At the fairgrounds, it's a big deal, a lot of people at that. And we're going to have the state duck calling competition is going to be back there. It's been many years since that's been back, and that's going to be on Sunday, the last day of the classic. So the state duck calling competition again, that'll be a real nice show on the 27th of March. So 25th, 26th, 27th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is a classic. But the 27th on Sunday, it'll be in Rosewoods at the state fairgrounds. And so it'll be inside. If you got bad weather, we'll still have it inside there. And that'll be this year's the state. We'll have a champion of champions, which is the past winners of the state duck calling contest can compete against one another for a prize. And then they have the junior state duck calling competition, which will be anyone under the age of 16 can participate in that. And then there's the adult or the state duck calling competition will follow after those two. Anybody is able to come put into that. You have people come from out of state sometimes too to compete in the state duck calling competition. So be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. You know, we've done that on the show before, talk about duck calling and the different things, the different parts of the routine. Certainly a little louder than your normal hunting situation with duck calling. You know, a lot of high ball, a lot of, you know, some feed chuckling there, some transition calls, comeback calls, but very loud, a lot of air, a minute and a half routine. So it'll be fun to watch. I hope we get a good participation this year. Again, first year back at the Classic. So looking forward to that. The winner of the state duck calling competition and the winner of the junior state duck calling competition will receive a lifetime hunting and fishing license. A pretty nice prize.
Wow.
Yep. That's $500 value.
For lifetime. You're talking lifetime hunting and fishing license.
That's right. The winner.
Wow.
Will receive that. So that's a pretty nice little prize. The Harry Hampton Wildlife Fund kind of got involved and offered that up to kind of get the duck calling competition back to the wildlife, to the Hampton weekend here. So that's why we're doing that, put a little bit, you know, energy into that. They have that nice prize. So got a lot of energy, hopefully build up with that. People want to compete. So it should be a lot of fun. Again, Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, again, raises money. It's the single biggest fundraiser for the Hampton Wildlife Fund each year. Hampton Wildlife Fund gives a lot of money to support all of DNR's programs that can't be funded through state government. It allows things to happen like fishing rodeos that are happening in our local counties. A lot of folks don't realize that a lot of those rodeos are paid for by money from the Hampton Wildlife Fund, which comes from events like the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic as well as their fundraising events in Spartanburg and Columbia. Wildlife Ball will be this year, the Thursday before the Classic, be the second annual. COVID kind of closed it after the first annual one last 2 years, but this will be the first time back. So the Wildlife Ball will be Thursday night, and that's going to be at Seawolves, right across from the fairgrounds there on Rosewood Avenue. So looking forward to that. It's a good fundraising night, so folks looking for something to do, those tickets are available, again, separately. That's Thursday night. There'll be a banquet, live auction, and a silent auction with lots of outdoor trips and wares to be had. So that's the Hampton Wildlife Ball, the second annual, and that'll be Thursday, the 24th, before the Classic begins.
Let me ask you this question. If I may jump in. So around the offices of DNR, how many folks are working full-time on the things you're talking about, in particular the Classic and the lead-up to the Classic? How many of your staffers are working full-time on that? How big a deal is this within your offices?
Well, so for our department, it's a great question, Bill. You know, it's mostly vendors. All the buildings are vendors. Now they built the Canny 1. They call it Canny 2. Those big buildings, we have full of vendors, outdoor vendors, but our department, so officers work the Classic every year. From the time I started in the late 90s, I worked the Classic every year, and they work security posts. In other words, basically make sure to keep things safe for folks who are attending the Classic, look for lost children, those kind of things to help out. So we've got anywhere from around probably 20 to 30 officers working daily the Classic at different positions across there. And then we've got staff from every division manning booths in the Ellison building that will display basically every aspect of what the Department of Natural Resources is. So South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, as we've talked about on the show, is so much more now than just a wildlife department. It's marine resources. It's land and water. It's our meteorology section, our climatology. You've got, you know, the law enforcement division, everybody knows. The wildlife section, everybody knows. Fisheries, people know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know the different things that we do. Our wildlife magazine, like I said, land and water. They've got the geology section. We've got our heritage trust properties. You've got archaeology. It's a part of all that. So many aspects of DNR that will be on display in the Ellison building. So the Ellison building will probably have another 30 to 40 people working every day from across the department. displaying what their division does within the Department of Natural Resources. A pretty neat saltwater touch tank. You've got the big freshwater tank to show the different fish. You know, it's always fun to see a big crappie in there, big bass, big catfish. And then outside, we always have the fishing tank with the trout, or the catfish is now catfish, I think, mostly. But we do that catch tank for kids to come out and fish, which is kind of fun. Always been tradition at the Classic to have that big catch pool out there that kids can come and fish for a little bit, and then go back out with the parents and look at some of the exhibits. So, but a lot of folks, all of our divisions will be there.
So for you personally, what do you enjoy more about the Classic? Is it the exhibits? Is it some of the fine arts of what people do, like the duck calling or the turkey calls, or maybe there's somebody in there making lures and things like that? Or is it some of the competitive stuff that they have, like, you know, don't they bring in various livestock and animals and have them on display and have people doing various things with them in terms of showing them off and stuff like that?
So we don't have livestock, but the probably the best part of the Classic is just all of the new gear that comes out. And because of the timing of the Classic, it's always the kind of start of turkey season.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's new turkey calls out, every one of those new gears out there, and you got vendors that bring out stuff and really put on a pretty good price point for folks. So it's a great opportunity to get items at a pretty good price point. So for me, the Classic is about shopping a little bit smarter and getting to see a variety of the different of hunting gear that's available now, and you get it at a pretty good price. So, and there's so much of it to go look at: fishing, hunting, turkey calls, whatever. You've got safes, you've got grills. I mean, Traeger grills will have a whole setup there, and they'll be cooking the whole weekend, and that from the Nickel Store, and that'll be a big hit. A lot of Traeger grills will get sold this weekend, that weekend. So, not this weekend, but that weekend. So, yeah, the end of the month. So, again, you know, boats. A lot of people like to go shop boats. You'll have Marshall's Marine there and other marinas out there selling boats up and down the Midway. Good chance to see that. You've got farm equipment, different groups out there showing, you know, different food plot things, little small tractors for guys that have little hunt clubs that want to have a smaller tractor to do some of the implements to do some of the work they need to do for food plots, bush hogs and discs and things, and plot masters to help plant food plots to attract more deer and more wildlife to your area. So a really variety, but for me, you know, there's some art in some of the buildings and we do just play some of that. But for most folks, it's about the vendors and the opportunity to go look at get some good prices on stuff from fishing gear to hunting gear.
Mm-hmm. So Major, just to kind of piggyback on that, for myself and any of my friends, family, or anybody listening out there that may be looking to, we're getting geared up for the season as the weather is warming up, and maybe we need to update our bait and tackle supply or whatever, or I need new equipment for the boat. You're saying this may be a good resource. Rather than going somewhere else, come here, get an expert opinion, and that may be the way to go?
Absolutely. There's so many fishing lures out in big trays for folks to go through, rubber worms, you name it, different types of worms, the slugs, all the different, the flukes, all those different types of lures to choose from. So it is a great opportunity to find a variety of gear, again, fishing and or hunting, at a pretty good price. So particularly on Sunday, always folks come out on Sunday, you know, trying to get, you know, a better deal on the way out the door. But again, everything from grills to hunting and fishing gear, boats, clothing, you name it. A lot of good vendors. Hapo's there. Hapo will have a lot of their t-shirts on sale and different gear, into the season gear. So there's a good opportunity to get a price there. So again, a lot of great vendors to look at. And remember, Sunday, State Duck Calling Championship will be Sunday. Both the champions, the junior state duck calling competition, and the state duck calling competition overall, beginning at 12 o'clock through the afternoon. So that'll be a fun event, and that's in the Rosewoods, which is inside, sort of right down the Midway, and come in on the main entrance. So,
all right, now who is your favorite in the older division of the duck calling here in the state? Who is your favorite? Who do you expect to win? Or maybe you got two or three on your mind?
Well, it depends on who shows up, because you never know who's going to show up. Mark Ackerman's always been a friend of mine for a long time. Sid Grad made duck calls. I called with his call for many years. Great duck call. We've had him on the show before talking about the different aspects of calling, but he is probably always a favorite. There's others out there. It's just so many different ones to talk through. Jesse Tucker, he was a young kid way back, 16-year-old star, came through, and then he's won state, and he comes back. I just go through the names in my head and think Ed Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he started off, he won the world at 16 years old, junior world, and then he has won state a bunch of times too, so he'll come, he may come up there. I bet if I had to guess, if I had to put my name on somebody, I'd almost put it on Ed. Ed's a pretty good winner. He's good. And I've watched him since he was a kid. So took him on his first duck hunt. So I guess I got to put my money on Ed. I've fought him since he was a kid.
What we ought to do in a couple of weeks, this is the second, so in a couple of weeks will be the 16th. So that'll be leading up to it. With your help, maybe line up one or two of your favorite duck callers and have them on with us so they can display their talents.
We might do that. We'll do that in the office, maybe. We'll do a live show there at the office, let them blow it out.
That'll work. You put that together. What advice do you have for people? We got about 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. So folks listening, making plans for that big weekend at the end of this month, what advice do you have about, maybe getting tickets or making your plans in advance to get there? What advice do you have?
So tickets are available at the gate, and I don't remember the exact cost. I need to look that up. I couldn't remember that. I knew you were going to ask me probably how much it was going to cost. But very inexpensive, though, for a day to go come in and see all that. Remember, all the money goes to the Hampton Wildlife Fund and goes to fund all the programs for DNR, many of the programs DNR does, again, that can't be funded through the state. So it's a great way to support the scholarship funds, to support fishing rodeos and lots of things at Hampton Wildlife. They even support our honor guard. But, block out the weekend. Again, March 25th, 26th, 27th, good weekend. One of those days, come in there. Between now and then, we'll have some warm weather here this weekend. I do want to say before we get off, make sure if you're going boating, we're going to start talking about our boating safety again, reminding folks, remember, check your boat out before you go out. Make sure you got your life jackets on board, that they're in good shape, no rips or tears, that they're where you can get to them, and you have enough for everybody on board, and they fit the intended user. Make sure you check that before you go out with small children, that they fit the intended user this weekend before you go fishing in this warm weather. But again, go out and enjoy it. Check your registration cards. Make sure your registration is up to date. And have that whistle in case you need help. But mainly, again, life jackets. Be safe on the water so you can go back out again in the weeks to come.
Yeah, like you said before, your boat's been sitting. Let's just say this is the first time you've gotten into your boat and you're preparing it to go out. It's been sitting since last year. There's bound to be some deterioration in some areas.
Oh, yeah. Life jackets sit up under a seat, for instance. Cold weather, hot weather, rain, mildew forms, that material will break down. So make sure you check your life jackets before you go out so that it will work if you need them. You do not want a life jacket that the stuffing comes out of, because it won't do you any good.
No, that's not a good feeling to jump in the water with a life jacket and the innards of it are coming out.
That's not good. No, it's not. It can't help you when that happens, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So,
Major, we'll let you put a wrap on it here.
All right, so thank you. Y'all have a safe next 2 weeks. We'll see you.
We look forward to it, sir. Thank you. You have a great couple of weeks in the outdoors. Be safe. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Major Billy Downer from DNR SC Wild here on Sports Talk on this Wednesday night. We love having the Major on. I have learned, for a guy that knew nothing when we started with him years ago, I have learned so much about the great outdoors, and there's so much more to learn. I don't think you can ever stop learning about hunting and fishing and boating and things like that. At the half, Georgia Tech is leading Clemson 33-27. We'll have coverage on our website, sportstalksc.com, later, and also we'll have Dabo Sweeney up on the website tonight as well. So check it out. Thank you, Pat. And thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody, for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow.